David, Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, where it says here, he tells his disciples, I'll ask this question again, how many disciples do we have tonight? Most of everybody? Okay. Well, we'll work on the rest of you then. He gives his disciples, he told them, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, and freely you what?
Give.
Freely you give. If you've got something, you know, I'm here tonight because I've got something, right?
Right.
Yes. I hope it is contagious. What I've got, I want to give tonight, right? I receive so I can give. I don't just receive so I can have.
Right.
That's not what Christianity is about. It's about giving. Jesus came here with something to give, didn't he? He had a lot to give, and he was giving it out. He wanted to serve. He said, I didn't come here to be served. I came here to serve. Now, each one of us, you have to think about that sometimes. What are we here for? What are we here for on this earth today? Why are we still alive? We're here to serve. We're here to serve. That's what the heart of Jesus is, right? The heart of Jesus is to serve and to care and to minister and to help people, to encourage people. That's what we're here for. And so he gives us so we can give. So, you know, we in this teaching, Patsy asked me, she says, is your message going to be up tonight? Is it going to be an up message? And I said, yeah, I love those up messages. I said, but it's teaching tonight. You know, when it's teaching, it's giving you information. Because Jesus went about teaching and preaching and healing. But he had to teach first so people could grasp it and have faith and then access to faith. So you have to have something. See, faith is a substance of things hoped for. So to give faith substance, we've got to have hope. Faith is a substance that takes the hope. But you have to have hope for something. You've got to see something. So I want to show you something that'll give you hope. What is hope? Hope is a joyous expectation of a preferred future. I got that definition down from years ago, and I just stay with it. It sounds good to me. You know, it might work better in some places than the others, but that's okay. I still like it, you know, too. It's a, you know, preferred. You know, I mean, there's some things in my future I want. Things I want to see change. There's some things that I'd like to see some healings in, right? We come here tonight to learn some things about healing. I want to see healing in this area. I want to see blessings in this area. So I've got to see the picture of it. I've got to have the hope there. The hope is the goal setter. See that thermostat on the wall? That's what that is, a goal setter. It sets a goal, and the air conditioned unit has all the ability to cool off its place, right? But that's the goal setter. And the air conditioned unit will take care of the rest. See, God will take care of the rest. He's already given us his word on something. We get the word in inside of us. We say, hey, you know, that's my goal I want. It's God's will. He knows how to take care of it.
Amen.
Right? So let's just look at something. We've established the fact, number one fact, you've got to know this, that it is God's will for you to be healed. It's not, God didn't plan for you to be sick all your life. God didn't plan for you to be in pain all your life. That's not part of his plan. His plan is for you to be blessed. If you look in Deuteronomy chapter 28, you see the curse. God doesn't want us to be in the curse. That's through disobedience. And Jesus paid the price for our disobedience. Hello? He paid the price for our disobedience. He paid the price for our sin. He took all the curse in his own body on the tree for us, didn't he? So we'd be redeemed from that. So we've got that taken care of. We know that's God's will. Healing is so important that, you know, that Christians understand that it is God's will for you to be that way. Oh, I know what I was saying to you about. I was talking about how some people doesn't agree with it. That I remember that when I first learned some things about healing, there was kind of like you got a reputation that you believe that. See, a little too high. You got to bring me down a little bit. And that people found out that we were, had people come over our house and we'd pray for them and people get healed. And then our denominational church didn't quite agree on that. They would think, well, if it's God's will, I'll just be healed. Just like I said last week, you know, if it's God's will, I'll be saved. And they'd do nothing. Well, you got to do something, you know. But and they didn't agree with that. So one time when the pastor's dad ended up in the hospital, I went, me and another guy in our church, we went to go pray for him. We went to the hospital, and he had deacons on each side of the door. Mm-hmm. No, I'm telling y'all a true story. They wouldn't let you in? They wouldn't let, no. They were assigned to keep me out.
Oh, my goodness.
They were assigned especially for me to keep me out. Now, this was a pastor that led me to the Lord, you know, my close friend. But the thing is, he used to tell me something. He said, Brian, know what you believe in. Believe what you know. Well, guess what? I started finding out some things that didn't fit in his doctrine that were in the Bible. Because he told me one time, he says, look, I can be walking down the sidewalk and I see you coming toward me. He says, I turn around and go the other way on purpose. I don't want to hear the questions you're going to ask me. Because I'm going to ask him questions. Like John 14:12. Where Jesus said, he that believeth in me and the works I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall you do. Well, he doesn't have the answer to that, right? So he doesn't want to hear those kind of questions. So I, you know, because, you know, when I get saved and I accepted the Lord, I really made him Lord. I said, I'm going to find out everything about him. I'm going to see what kind of God he is. And, he's a God of love. He's God of care. He cares about all of my needs. And he meets my needs. And I saw that happening every day in my life. I started seeing the blessings of God. So I was stirred up and wanted to go in with God and learn some things. But I wasn't going to be stuck in any doctrine. Because when I see a person gets up here and they don't give me any scriptures, they just tell me things. And they're based their doctrine off of other things that's happened. Like, well, I prayed for somebody that didn't get healed. That's out, right? We're not going to preach that anymore because somebody wasn't healed. That doesn't change what the Word of God says.
No.
You know, just because I don't get my prayers answered the way I want to doesn't mean it's not God's will for that to be in my life. I've got to find out how to get it there because God wants it there. There's something I'm doing wrong. There's something I don't understand. Somewhere I'm missing a little nugget. You know, you ever put something back together again, Mike? You know, when you go to put it, you're missing a couple screws and you can't get the thing back together. You're missing something. You lost something. I think it's what happened to a lot of Christians. We just have missed some things we're missing because, you know, God wants us to be healed. I took something off the internet today when I was typing up the sermon here, and I saw something about the health situation going on today and about, it says here that healthcare is spending, in the year of 2014, healthcare was spending $3 trillion in healthcare. And it says it would be increased to $5 trillion by 2022. And per capita, I guess that's a home, is the average home of doctor bills, hospital bills, and cost of medical care is over $9,400 per home today on a yearly basis. So there's something going on there. I mean, I know you noticed it in the last 10 years or so that every corner that you see, there's a drugstore there now, right? I mean, the drugstores, it's one thing that's just building and popping up everywhere. They're getting ready for the last days. Hello? Men's hearts will fail them for fear in the last days, right? You know, we've got to have something. We've got to learn how to take, this is what we're going to talk about tonight, how to take God's medicine. Last week we said take God's medicine. We talked about what it was. But tonight we're going to learn how to take God's medicine because this stuff needs to be stopped, especially in the church. If there be any sick among you, right?
Amen.
But it says the number one cause of death. Now, everybody knows the number one cause of death is a heart, right? From heart attacks. Right, Russ? We understand that. That's the number one cause of death is heart disease. Number two is cancer. Do you know that over 500,000 people die every year from nicotine, from cancer, from cigarettes and nicotine products? 500. If there was a war going on somewhere and 500,000 people was killed, we would call that World War III or IV or whatever is next. We don't know. But, that's, and that happens. Just letting it happen. Cancer. Next one is a chronic respiratory disease. Next one is accidents. 136,000 accidents a year. I call it Alzheimer. Y'all call it Alzheimer. But anyway, 94,000. And diabetes, 77,000 people die in the U.S. Now, I'm talking the U.S., not the world. Y'all understand? I'm talking about in the U.S. So there's something needed. There's medicine needed. Now, these are things that the doctors can't cure. You understand? That this, they weren't successful. They have equipment, these robotic arm machines that do surgery. You know how much those things cost? Yep. Between $1.5 to $2 million. I used to work at the VA hospital. And that was my job, to buy this equipment, you know, these different machines, these different things. And, you know, when the old ones got old, there was an expiration date on them. I mean, they may still work, but it didn't matter. When it was time up, we had to buy new equipment. And that was my job to keep, I couldn't say their names of those things, but I, you know, had a book that showed you how to spell them and all of those things. But you know, it's a shame. That's, you know, that's what's happening. And if we would understand what I'm talking about tonight, we could stop a lot of this. See, we could stop some of this. I know that that we're concerned about our taking care of ourselves and the right kind of things, like we, you know, Barbara, and we've talked about before about taking vitamins and supplements and minerals and taking these things for your body. And you say, well, why do you take all that stuff? Just live by faith. Well, when you know that your body needs certain things and you're not getting it from the foods that you eat, and it would cost more to try to find those foods than it would to pay for the vitamins. Hello? So does that make kind of, I'm talking common sense to start off with, right? And then we're going to go on from here. But here's something. We'll just jump right in here. John 6:38. Make sure you understand that it is God's will for you to be healed. You see it through Jesus' life. Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but his will that sent me. Him that sent me's will, I think it may say in King James, but the will of him that sent me. See, he didn't come here but for, to do God's will. So if we see Jesus in the Bible doing anything, we see God's will. Isn't that simple? Oh, it's profound. But it's so simple that if we see Jesus doing it, we know it's God's will. Because over and over again, you see in the book of John, where Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and I only do those things that he sent me to do, and the things I say are the things that he said to me. In other words, God said something, and Jesus says something, says the same thing. You see what I'm saying? And I don't mean just when he says, you know, it is written that man shall live by, shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I mean, it's not just saying those things when he said it is written. But when Jesus spoke, it's what God spoke to him. And what did he speak? He spoke the word of God, right? So we're seeing here, let's look at this. Look at John 14, verse 7. John 14, verse 7. Let's see that. I have to keep it in here because I'm going to be a lot of places in John. He says here in John 7, 14, verse 7, he says, if you've known me, this is just after he just got through saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody gets to the Father except me, right? And then he turns around and says, and if you had known me, you had known my Father also. and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Well, people say, we've never seen God. Well, those that saw Jesus saw God, according to him. If you've seen him, you've seen God. Isn't that true? In verse 8, then after he says that, Philip, the swift one, said, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll be everything will be okay. You know, we'll be satisfied. And Jesus just got through out of his mouth. You know, as a pastor, we see that happen a lot of times, don't we? You preach something, say something, somebody walks right up to you and says, what about this? Where was you at for the last 45 minutes? I just explained that to you. Where was you at? See, they're off, like you said, they dropped their body off. And their mind went to Longhorns or something, you know. And then all of a sudden they want you to put it back in them. Yeah, you wish you could, just stick it in the heads. That's what he was having a problem with Philip here. So Jesus said to Philip, he said, have I been so long with you, and yet you hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. I think he's repeating himself. Wouldn't you say? I hope y'all saw that now. How can you say this then? Show us the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words, everybody say words. The words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, is what it means here, not of myself, but the Father that what? Dwelleth in me. He does the works. Believe me that I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else just believe me because of the works' sakes. You know, see, there's something here that I can't get into all of this right now, but there's some very important words in here, like the word dwelleth, what the word dwelleth means, and talking about the word and works. See how he uses the word works and word interchangeably, back and forth. The word and the works. Because the word is works. It is the works of God. When God speaks, it was the works of God. When he speaks it. When the word comes and the word manifests, it brings works. Just believe me because of the works. The works are evidence that the Father is in me. The works that I do and the words I speak, they are the evidence that he dwells in me. That he is in contact with me. He is connected with me. I'll get into that maybe a little later. Because we want to learn how to do that ourselves. We want to learn how to have the word connected to you. That where you go, the word is there with you. When you open your mouth, you speak what the word says, and you have the same results that Jesus had because of his word. Matthew 4:23, it says here, you know, we know this is God's will. Matthew 4:23 says that Jesus went about teaching, preaching, and healing. What? What was God's will? Him to be teaching, preaching, and healing. So how can somebody say, well, you know, how do we know if it's God's will? I'm just not sure if it's God's will for me to be healed. Or I'm not sure if that person over there, if it's God's will for them to be healed. I got way too many scriptures to tell you, to show you that it's not God's will, that it's his will for that person to be healed. He paid the price. It's a covenant right. It's a benefit. Amen? Amen. He is not willing. How many knows when he says he's not willing, he's also telling you what his will is? Right. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all come into the knowledge of his Son. Unto the knowledge of the Word, because they're the same, aren't they? The Son, the Word, all the same. He wants you to know his Word, because you know the Word, you know the truth. And you know the truth will set you free. Hello? Amen. The Word of truth will set you free. Again, we're talking about God's will here. We're going to try to go too fast. John, let's look at John 1:14. You know this scripture. And it said, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who is the Word?
Jesus.
And Jesus became flesh. He says, I come down from where? From heaven. I come down from heaven. I mean, you, don't you know it was nice up there? And he come down to a place here that was still under the curse. He come down from heaven. He took on flesh. Jesus wrapped. I mean, Jesus, or I could say the Word was wrapped in flesh, and it was Jesus. Can y'all see that? Can you see that? The Word was wrapped in flesh and was Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, we need to understand the Word of God will do the exact same thing that Jesus did. Because you can't separate the two, right? How are you going to separate Jesus from the Word? He was the Word. He was the Word. He is the Word. So when we see what Jesus did, we know what the Word does. So now you can understand how important it is for you to get the Word in you, to take the Word as your medicine, right? We know the Word is our medicine. We take the Word as our medicine, then it gets the same results that Jesus had. What did Jesus do? It's what the Word does. They're both the same. You can't separate the two of them. In Genesis chapter 1, we see God spoke the Word and it brought creation. When he spoke, everybody say spoke. When he spoke the Word, not the Word by itself, you know. The Word by itself is not going to do anything if you don't speak the Word. You've got to do something with the Word. We got scriptures on that. But anyway, Hebrews 11:3 says, the worlds were framed by what? When he spoke the Word. When God spoke the Word, the worlds were framed. I've got to see some kind of way to get you to understand the attachment here, how we can attach the Word to ourselves. Look in John 15:7. It says, I know it says here in King James, John 15:7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now, to me, that sounds like kind of a little double thing here, right? If you abide in me, who's me? Jesus. Because it's Jesus talking. Now, it's a white up here, but it's red in my Bible. You know? If you abide in me, Jesus is saying this, and my words abide in you. So I think that's kind of a connection there, don't you think? You shall ask what you will. And how could you ask anything that's not his will? How could you ask anything that's not his will if you're abiding in him and he's abiding in you? What you ask will be his will, and it shall be done to you. Amen? Oh, you got it read. Good job. Smarty, smarty. Show off. No, I'm kidding. Just trying to, anyway. But let me give you a word here. If you abide, the word here, abide, is the Greek word M-E-N-O, minnow. And it's not like what you fish with. If you abide, a minnow, which means continue to be connected to me and my words, are connected to you, you can ask what you will, or you can say. You know when you're asking something, how many knows you're saying something? When you're saying something, now I don't want to get into this right now, another Greek word here where the word ask is a word aito, which means demand, because I have to explain to you all what we're talking about demanding. Because you're never demanding God. But when you speak God's word, you're speaking a demand. You're declaring a thing. Hello? When you're declaring God's word, when you speak God's word, you're declaring something that has some power to it. Something's got authority to it. And I don't mean some power. I mean the power. Hello? It's a connection. It's, you know, the word connects to you. Look at James 1:21. And I'll show you here. James 1:21 says this right here. Receive with meekness. Right? Where are you at? 1:21, King James Version? Oh, yeah. Okay, you start off a different place. Mine. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and sublurity and naughtiness, and all those nasty words, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to sozo your soul, right? To save your soul. Engrafted, the engrafted word. There you go again with that word, engrafted. It also means to be infused. I mean, when you get the word in you, it's infused in you. So when something happens that's not supposed to happen or it's not part of God's will, you know it in your body. Wait a minute, something inside of you is burning and it says, no, this is what's real. This is me. I am, you know, Jesus says, I'm the word. You become one with the word. He says, you know, Father, I want them to be one with us as I'm one with you. That's John 17, right? Anybody know, alert, you know, like John 17? I know Pat does. I mean, John 17 is a prayer where Jesus prayed for us. I just love to read his prayers when he prays for me. How many knows his prayers will be answered? Whew. He said, I want them to be one with us just as I am one with you. That kind of tells us something, right? See, God's word is able to engraft, infuse its life into your body. If we just got that revelation, I think you'd be running around circles. So we're going to keep working on that revelation there. God's word is able, when we take God's word and we speak it, and we put it in us, we feed it, we're looking at it, rereading it, you know, and we're hearing it. Hearing it is important too. Hearing it and reading it and speaking it and saying it, it becomes engrafted, infused in your life, right in through in your body. Remember our text is Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ears unto my sayings. Let them, what's the next verse? Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. There's reason for, it can spend hours and hours just on the scripture, but we got to go through it. Verse 20, for they are life unto them that find at them in health. And we learned the word health means what? How many remembers the word? I know Bonnie remembers that word. Marpe. M-A-R-P-E. You won't forget it next time I ask. I said, no. Marpe, which means a remedy, a cure, medicine, and healing. For they are life to those that... How many wants to find some tonight? You know, we kind of gave an example last week, but how many wants to find a cure, the word that's a cure for you? Because Linda may need a certain word. Barbara may need a certain word. And it might not be the same word for each one of us. So we've got to do what it says. We've got to find them ourselves. We've got to open the word up and find the word for ourselves. But, you know, I can give you some words. But in those words, you've got to find what works for you. What are you looking for? You know? So when I read this, this is what I see. The word is life. It's infused, bringing marpe, a cure, a remedy, and medicine for healing in my body. How do we take God's medicine? That's what we're here to learn tonight, right? When you go to a doctor and he prescribes a medicine for you, and then you go to a pharmacy and you get your RX there and you bring it home, right? And then you look at the label and you read the directions on it. Isn't that true? And it says take one every 8 hours. Isn't that pretty well normal, I guess? Take one every 8 hours. And you go home and you put it on your nightstand by your bed, because if you're sick, you're going to usually be in the bed, right? So nobody's saying amen or anything. I know y'all being quiet. Y'all listening too hard. No, y'all not listening too hard. You put it by your nightstand and you put it right there and you leave it there. And you don't ever take it, but you're waiting for Sunday morning. Ooh. Uh-oh. You're waiting for Sunday morning to take it, right? I might have too many amens here. And you expect it to work. You take it right then. You follow the directions that it says on it. You take that one pill every 8 hours, just like the instructions. And God told us, my son, attend my words, incline unto ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. Then it'll be life to them that find it. It'll be Zoe. It'll be a cure. It'll be healing. It'll be the remedy that you need if you follow these directions. But we're going to wait Sunday. We'll get her Sunday. You know, as I told y'all before, I make people mad sometimes because I care, because I know what the truth is. I know how important it is for people to get the word inside of them. I mean, when you see people that are dying, let me tell you, it's serious. When they call me on the phone, they need help, they need prayer, whatever, I'll pray with anybody in time. But I know the best thing for them is preventive medicine. We're talking tonight about divine healing. We're not talking about coming up here and laying hands on you, and receiving it, getting off, and going out and losing your healing. Hello? If you don't continue taking your medicine, you got to take it. I'll tell you how much you take it, should take it. How much Charles Capp says you should take it or whatever, you know, in a minute. But, you know, I've go to people's houses sometime and they have a prayer need and they want me to come over and I come over to pray with them. And all of a sudden they have their Bible put up on the coffee table. And I go over there, reach for it. And when I put my thumb on it, I see the thumbprint. Nobody's opened it up. Yeah. Hello, so dusty. I've had people, you know, go to hospital or sick or something. Go to hospital. And I go visit them in hospital. I remember this one in particular. Y'all remember last week when I said, what about Bob? Okay. We're going to talk about Bob again. And y'all can ask Patsy when we get through. Y'all ask Patsy, what about Bob? She'll tell you. I love him. But anyway, he was a character. He was in the hospital. He got something happened. He ended up in the hospital. And so I went to go visit him. And I noticed when I went there on the door, there was a sign on the door that said, do not disturb. Y'all don't know me very well, but those signs don't mean anything to me. Me no speak English or don't read English or whatever. No. when they said, do not disturb, hey, I'm a pastor. I'm a minister. I mean, my job is going there to minister to somebody, and the doctors will let you in. Want to Pastor David? They'll let you in because you're a minister, you know. And so I go in there, and all of a sudden, he's throwing things around like, hey, you know. And I said, what are you doing? I said, okay, let's pray. Let's talk about the word here. Let's talk about the Lord here. And I said, you got your Bible? And I look over there, and there's 10 magazines. Mm-hmm. Better Homes and Gardens. And I'm thinking, Better Homes and Gardens is not going to help you. my wife's going to bring the Bible up here. She's supposed to bring it back today, you know, and all this stuff. I said, okay. Well, I had a little Bible in my back pocket. So I started giving him scripture, giving him the word or whatever. And then next week or a couple weeks later, he came to church. He wanted to give testimony. You know what he said? He said, you know, I know Pastor Brian loves me and cares for me. He knows what's best for me. And he doesn't mind me getting mad at him. He said, but I put that sign, I got the nurse to put the sign on the door just for him, to keep him out. See? Sometimes people might know what the answer is, but they don't want to pay the price. You think, well, it's just God's grace. My healing is God's grace. Yes, it's God's grace, but it's by faith. You've got to use your faith. By grace, you're saved, but it's through faith. You've got to have something to have faith in. Amen? And I mean, I don't mind doing it because I know what people need. And I mean, if somebody gets mad at me, they can just get mad at me, but I'm there to help. Amen? I mean, I don't mind shocking people. That's what it takes, you know. How do we take the medicine from the doctors when they give you medicine? What do? Anybody know? You take it by what? Hint, take it. Most of you take it by mouth, right? Yeah. I asked Patsy, and she says, well, I take it with a spoon. I said, now, which one? She said, well, if you have a capsule or a tablet or something, you take it by mouth. I said, well, anyway, if you take it by spoon, you still put it in your mouth, right? She said, yeah, okay. So at least y'all didn't answer back like her. But anyway, you take it, you're supposed to answer by mouth. You take your medicine by mouth. Right? So when you're speaking the word, you are taking your medicine. Let's look at the book of wisdom here. And there's a few scriptures I'm going to read here, and we'll go from here. It says, in the book of wisdom, in Proverbs 12, 18, talking about the mouth now, how important, because you know in Proverbs 4, it says, to guard your mouth. To guard your mouth, for out of it comes the issues of life. The streams of life, Amplified says. So what's in the heart, the mouth speaks. So that's why it's important what you put in, so it'll come out of your mouth the right things. It says in Proverbs 12, 18, it says, the tongue of the wise is health. So I'll say it this way. The tongue of the wise is a remedy, is a cure, is healing. Proverbs 12, 14 says, a man shall be satisfied with the good by the fruit of his mouth. Proverbs 12, 6 says, the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Remember I said this is the book of what? Wisdom. 13:3 says, he that guards his mouth guards his life. And it says in 14:3, it said, the lips of the wise shall preserve them. The lips of the wise shall preserve them. How many knows preserve is part of the Greek word sozo? Healing, deliverance, safety, soundness, and preservation. Preserve them. Now, Amplified 15:4 says, I'm going to say it Amplified, it's still Proverbs. A gentle tongue with its healing power is a tree of life. Now, I know you didn't have these scriptures up here for you to read or whatever. He's trying to keep up there. But doing a good job. But I didn't give them to him. So, but anyway, I want you to understand the wisdom of God is letting you know how important it is what you put in you, because what you put in you is going to come out of you. And when you speak the right kind of things, it's going to bring life, it's going to bring health, it's going to bring a cure to what's in your life. So now are you, here's the question, are you now ready to take your medicine for your divine health? Oh, I love teaching about, you know, how you can be healed tonight, and how we can pray for you, and how the anointing of God will come on you, and how the power is present to heal you today. Those kind of exciting sermons, and they're all good. But there's something that's, because of what I'm hearing, I'm seeing that people need to take God's medicine on a daily basis to keep in your life so these things don't happen to you. I mean, I'm a healthy person. I'm a healthy person. For my age, I'm a very healthy person. And I know it, but I do things to take care of myself. It just don't happen by osmosis. I've got to do some part of myself. I know God wants me healthy. He wants me healed, but I know the Bible says my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. So if I want to know some things, I have to understand some things. When I get knowledge, if I don't act on the knowledge, it won't do me good. You know, we say when you know the truth, it'll set you free. The truth by itself won't set you free. You've got to know the truth. You can sit, come to church every Sunday, hear the truth. You're not going to be set free unless you know that you know that you know it. When you know it, you're going to act on it. It's going to be a part of your life. So we're ready to take it. So let's find some. Let's find them right now. So I'm going to show you what I use when I go to hospitals and pray for people. I was in the Gwinnett Medical Center for 40 days. I was there 40 nights, but I was there a couple days before we started the 40-day and 40-night thing. Patsy was at the hospital 40 days. I was at the hospital 40 nights to minister to my son-in-law that was in the hospital, very, very, very sick. And while we were there, people would come and see us sitting in the hallways across from where they would be in the ICU. And people would see us there, and they'd see us praying. They'd see we had the Bible. And, I mean, people would come and sit right next to you and say, would you pray for my son? Would you pray for this? And, I mean, look, if you want a place to go minister, go to ICU, any hospital you want to. You go in there, and you carry a book with you, a Bible with you, or whatever, people will be asking you to pray. Say, I want a little experience. That's where you can get some. I guarantee it. told you so. Isn't that right, Rebecca?
I used to do
that. Huh?
I used to do that. There was a ministry with a sister in the Lord.
That's right.
And when you couldn't get in, I would say, well, I'm her sister.
Yeah. Well, see, if you go there and you go sit in there and you open your Bible up or whatever, people will, you know, I pray for people that were dying over here and dying over here and, you know, end up preaching a couple funerals and people I didn't even know who they were, you know, because they didn't get very many in our church, you know. Nobody would die in our church, but anyway, I didn't allow that kind of stuff. But I only had two in the whatever years I've pastored. Only had two. My first one was my son-in-law. That was the bad part. And the next one wasn't really in our church, but he had, used to be in our church. But anyway, and I'll tell you about him. Well, the story on him is my daughter married a guy that was 12 years older than her. And as I picked before, he had a son 12 years old. And I asked her, which one did she marry? You know, because of 12 years, either way you want to go. But no, that little statement didn't go off very good with her. But anyway, but he was a nice guy. I loved him. He was a real good guy. He worked in our church as an usher and he's a fantastic person. But there were some things I didn't know about him that she knew. See, she was raised in a word, full gospel church all of her life. So she just believed God for miracles, just part of her life. She married a guy that had full-blown AIDS. I didn't know anything about it. We didn't know it for a couple years, and all of a sudden, he started getting sick and couldn't get healed and go to the hospital, and they wouldn't tell us until finally we found out when he ended up in ICU, and the doctor said he would never come out of here alive. He would die right there. And the doctor was wrong. But anyway, I'll tell you the story. He didn't die then, later, but he didn't die when we were there for 40 days and 40 nights. He'd come out of there. But this is God's message. So I'm going to read to you what, this is what we prayed over him. This is what I give to Preston, you know, Angela's son. You know, I give to him to read this book and said, get this inside of you. Get this word inside of you. You keep taking this medicine. I know Kenneth Hagin's got a book on called God's Medicine. All those are good, you know. But this is just one that I use as a tool here, you know. And I mean, this covers like I said, there's one thing you might need, one thing you might need. But I'm telling you, it's going to cover everything. It's going to cover everything for you. It's God's creative power for healing by Charles Capps. And it says here, Charles Capp says this right here, he says, this is God's medicine. This is to be spoken by mouth 3 times a day until faith comes. See, in other words, until you're fully persuaded that you have a strong conviction and there's no doubt in you, until faith comes, then once a day to maintain your faith. This is what a lot of us need now. You say, well, I'm not sick right now. Take it to maintain your faith in healing. On a daily basis, once a day anyway. It's God's word, right? And if circumstances grow worse, double up on it. Double up on the dosage. There's no harmful side effects. There's no ODing from taking too many drugs. And I know what happened to me with that stuff when I broke my foot. I don't know what the drugs would do there. Anyway, this is what he says. Take this right here. This is your medicine. So, Jesus is Lord of my life. Sickness and disease hath no power over me. I am forgiven. I'm free from sin and guilt. I am dead to sin and alive unto righteousness. That's Colossians 1:21 and 22. Now, I'm sure Pastor David remembers that our second year of Rhema, the first day of the second year, this little old guy got up there to preach in the pastor's class. You remember the first guy that preached, right? You know that was me. You don't remember me preaching? It wasn't that dynamic when I got preached. Sorry, I don't remember you either. So anyway. I didn't know you, didn't remember. But yeah, end up, since my name is white with a W, they started from the back. And so I had to be first. I had a few other people with W's and last names that wanted to trade with me so they could be first. Because if you're first, you don't have to be better than the one in front of you, right? It's the other guy's got the pressure to be better than you behind you. So no, I wouldn't trade with anybody, Webb and all those guys, you know. But anyway, the first sermon, that's what I was going to say. The first sermon I taught was a luxury. Now here we at Rhema. A lot of people went to Rhema so they could learn, get faith, so they could prosper and have, you know, Cadillacs or whatever, you know, and all these things. That's what Kenneth Hagin let us know in orientation, after a couple of days of orientation. He said, if you came here just to get faith, to have cars and things, you need to go ahead and take your restoration money and go home. That's not what faith is all about. So my first sermon was a luxury you cannot afford. So that would kind of wipe out a few people thinking, well, you know, what do you mean? I can't afford. I can afford anything, you know? Well, the luxury actually was walking in unforgiveness, holding things against people. Because if you walk in unforgiveness, you forget about the other scriptures in front of that. Because if you're not forgiven, I mean, if you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. If you don't forgive, you can speak to the mountains, you can ask and pray and all those things. It's just a bunch of hot air, right? Okay, let's get off that one. Let's go on. Let's get take some more medicine here. He says, next one, he says, I'm free from unforgiveness and strife. I forgive others as Christ has forgiven me. For the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. That's Matthew 6:12 and Romans 5:5. Jesus bore my sins in his body on the tree. Therefore, I'm dead to sin, alive unto God, and by his stripes I am healed. I am made whole. Now, he gives all the scriptures. I'm not going to take time to read all the scriptures, you know, when I read this, but he's got scriptures on this. But what I want you to understand is what I'm saying. I'm not just saying a bunch of words here tonight. I'm giving you food. I'm giving you medicine to feed your spirit. See, it says in John 6:63, my words are spirit and they are life. This is a supernatural healing. This is not the natural way. Natural doctors, they give you medicine to take, right? You take it by mouth. Well, you're going to take this. When you speak it, you are taking it. You understand what I'm saying? It's not just part of reading it. When you speak in God's word, you are taking that medicine. Jesus bore my sickness and he carried my pain. I'm telling myself this. Jesus bore my sickness. He carried my pain. Therefore, I give no place to sickness, no place to pain, for God has sent his word and he healed me. Father, because of your word, I am an overcomer. I overcome this world, the flesh, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. You give me abundant life. I receive that life through your word, and it flows to every organ of my body. Linda, to every organ of my body. Your life, your word flows to every organ of my body, bringing healing, a remedy, a cure, the medicine I need every part of my body. Heavenly Father, I attend your word. I incline my ear to your sayings. I will not let them depart from my eyes. I keep them in the midst of my heart. For they, your words, are life and healing to all my flesh. As God was with Moses, so is he with me. My eyes are not dim, neither the natural forces abated. Blessed are my eyes, for they see, and my ears, for they hear. Let me say it again. Blessed are my eyes, for they see, and my ears, for they hear. No evil will befall me, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. For you have given your angels charge over me. They keep me. They keep me. They guard me. They protect me in all of my ways. In my pathway is life, healing, and health. And now, again, I'm telling you, I'm not just reading your words. This is the word I'm reading you. See, he's quoting the scriptures. And you're speaking the word. You're taking medicine when you read these things. Amen? So when you get this, you get a copy of this book, you take this, you're taking medicine. I'm not making anything off of Charles Capp's books. I'm just saying this is good right here for you to take it. Jesus took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses. You hear that, Brian? See, I'm talking to myself. You hear that, Brian? Jesus took my infirmities and he bore my sickness. Therefore, I refuse to allow sickness to dominate my body. The life of God flows within me, bringing healing to every fiber of my being. And he gives the scriptures. But he says, again, he says, I'm redeemed from the curse. We know that's Galatians 3:13, because Galatians 3:13 is flowing in my bloodstream. It flows to every cell of my body. It restores life and health to my body. The life of 1 Peter 2:24 is a reality in my flesh. It restores, it brings restoring to every cell in my body. I present my body to God, for it is a temple of the living God. God dwells in me, and his life permeates my spirit, soul, and body, so that I'm filled with the fullness of God daily. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I make a demand on my body to release the right chemicals. Are y'all listening? Somebody may be getting something. Somebody may be getting the right medication that God has for you. Hello? My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And I make a demand on my body to release the right chemicals. That's, you know, we need to believe that when you speak those things, you believe that. That God is, you know, I know that Pastor David was in the same classes with me at Rhema when they were talking about the blood and talking about how, you know, the different chemicals in a person's body, how they change when a person, from when they were lost and when they got saved. You remember that on teaching? That you check the person's blood chemicals, not just the DNA, but the chemicals in their blood before they got saved. When they got saved, the chemicals in their body changed. There's some other chemicals in your body now. And I guess I believe I understand where they came from. It's through a blood covenant. It's the blood of Jesus. Hello? We're one with him. Okay. Y'all got, okay. Heavenly Father, through your word, you have imparted life to me. You've infused that life into my life. That life restores my body, and with every breath I breathe and every word that I speak, and he gives scriptures, that which God has not planted is dissolved and rooted out of my body in Jesus' name. See, you might need to say that sometime. Yes. That God didn't put in me has no right to be there.
No.
Hello? I think I say that a lot of times when I talk about the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. What's in me, if it's not holy, it shouldn't be there. Hello? There's no right to be in my body. Your life restores my body with every breath that I take and every word that I speak. That which God has not planted is dissolved and rooted out of my body in Jesus' name. 1 Peter 24 is engrafted into every fiber of my being. I am alive with the life of God. Let's see if I'm going to see, and it's got a section here on growth, tumors, arthritis. Hello? Arteries and cells, immune systems, healthy bones and marrow, enforcing life. I mean, just let's see if I can pick one I might like here. Growths and tumors have no right to be in my body. They are a thing of the past, for I am delivered from the authority of darkness. Every organ and every tissue of my body functions in perfection to what God created it to function. I forbid any malfunction in my body in Jesus' name. Your word is manifest in my body, causing growths to disappear. Arthritis is a thing of the past. I make a demand on my bones and my joints to function properly in Jesus' name. Now, can you, I want y'all to imagine what it would be like to speak this every day, to take this kind of medication every day. Take your medicine. God gave it to us. I don't mean Charles Capps gave it to us. God gave it to us. God gave it to him, you know, because now how does this come to him? It comes to him as Rhema. And then he puts it in a little book. When you write a book or something, Pastor David or these authors back here, they're just not writing a book off just knowledge that I have. They sit down, the Holy Spirit puts gives them something to write and they start writing. When I was back in Louisiana, pastoring a church there in North Louisiana, they give me they said I could write a little column in a newspaper. You might have heard me say this before. They give me like 30 or 40 words I could put in there. And all these other churches around, they had their pastors would put something in there. And I'd start writing something in there. And y'all know me, just like tonight, I get a little long-winded. And I go from 20 words to 30 words to 40 words to 60 words. And the next thing, and somebody says, well, you know, they're going to say something about it. I said, nobody did. Next thing I know, I'm writing 200 words. Wow. But it's just you start off with something and it just adds to and adds to and adds to. And guess what happened to the other pastors? They stopped writing. They just moved out of the way and let me have it. You know? So it was a blessing to see how God gives you rhema. God gives us rhema. God gives us a word. And this is a rhema. This is rhema that came to Charles Capps in his rhema, which is God's spoken word given to you at a time that you need it. Amen. So something for you in here. Something for you in the word of God. It's life, it's health, it's medicine to them that find it. I hope you found something tonight. Amen. I hope you found something. God's word is his creative power. The worlds were framed by it, and your world can be framed by it. How many like to see your world change? Amen. You can change it with your words, with God's words, that is, with God's words. Thank you, Father, for your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we each...